This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on July 22, 2010. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Good afternoon. The open session for Thursday, July 22, 2010 will now come to order. First item on the agenda is Draft Advisory Opinion 2010-09, Club for Growth. Vice Chair, I understand we have some late submitted documents.
Mr. Chair, I move to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents in order to consider the late submission of documents, agenda document number 10-40 and agenda document 10-42, which contain draft advisory opinions in advisory opinion 2010-09 and 2010-11.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes 6-0. We have Carol Hammond and Mark Renaud on behalf of Club for Growth, and please take a seat at the table. And welcome you, and thank you for your presence here. And we'll turn it over to Mr. Atkins to give us a presentation.
Thank you, and good afternoon. Agenda document 10-40, response to a request for advisory opinion filed on behalf of the Club for Growth, which asks whether it may establish, administer, and pay the solicitation costs of a political committee that makes only independent expenditures and that solicits unlimited contributions from individuals in the general public, including contributions given for specific independent expenditures. Draft A of agenda document 1040 concludes that it may, and draft B concludes that it may not. The Commission received one comment on the request and two comments on the drafts. Be happy to answer any questions that you might have, and thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Atkins. Questions or discussion? Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be supporting draft A in this advisory opinion. I think as everyone can anticipate, recent Supreme Court decisions have allowed for new and different entities to participate in different ways in this process. And as the Commission has announced, we will be conducting rulemakings in these areas. But until that point, I think these advisory opinions are an important way for us to get answers to particular requesters on their requests to provide guidance in the interim. So I don't need to belabor the point, but I think the draft A puts together some of the conclusions and the holdings of the two legal decisions at issue in this particular one in a logical and consistent way. And from my perspective, although I appreciate my colleague's view, I don't think that we need to wait for rulemaking in order to answer these questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Further questions or discussion? Commissioner Walther.
I propose draft B. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I propose draft B mainly because I was concerned about what's coming down the pike in terms of what's going to emanate and that we from these decisions. And we have a pending rulemaking taking place, and I think that these particular issues probably are better fit to consider them all at one time. But I know that the votes are with a draft A, and I'm not going to belabor it either. My views are already expressed in draft B.
Commissioner McGann.
That's a question. Does that draft mean they couldn't raise money and spend money, or is it that they just don't fit within the current regime, so NAO is not the place to concoct a new regime? They can still act, right?
They can still act.
Okay.
Right.
Commissioner McGann.
I'm with the vice chair on this one. And support that draft. I have just a little bit of concern with how we answer question three, because how I read the request asks three questions. First, let's assume the Club for Growth sets up a committee that files with the commission. Can they raise money from the general public without limit? Because it seems like this group kind of looks like an SSF, but it's really not. On the other hand, because, well, that would mean it couldn't raise money from anyone other than the restricted class, and there are all sorts of other rules that seem to have been based upon the corporate prohibition which Citizens United dispensed with. Second question is, could they give money, could a contributor give money for a specific IE? Is there any issue there? I think we all, or not, enough of us agree that there's no issue there. That doesn't really matter. And the third question is, does it matter if the Club for Growth pays the overhead and admin costs, or if the group pays its own cost? Does any of that matter? The answer, I think there's sufficient support for all this. The answer is no. But then we add some language about reporting, which I think is important because doing part of the answer without really fleshing out what it means can get awkward. But I guess the question I have for counsel is, does it matter if you guys are an SSF or not? Your request doesn't put a fine point on it. Is this answer sufficient for your purposes? Are we answering your questions? Are we creating new law? This is your chance to make sure we've gotten it right. Go.
Well, I think you are answering our question. And from our perspective, we're not an SSF. And, the fact that you're asking us to report the established administration and solicitation expenses, we viewed as a burden, but it wasn't going to stop us from accepting your opinion.
Is there anything that you could think of in the establishment administrative or solicitation expenses that wouldn't be a contribution under how that term's currently defined, something that would just be more of a receipt? I mean, interest income wouldn't be picked up by the club. My concern is that I want to make clear, a vote for this is not redefining the term contribution in a new way. There's been a couple comments came in yesterday that said, well, it seemed like they had a little bit of a concern about that, and I think there's agreement among the commissioners that we're not redefining contribution. Mm-hmm. But my concern is I don't know the right answer to this question. I'm not sure we're to that question yet. The commission needs to, and it could go either way. Mm-hmm. And I'm keep going around. So do you have any thoughts on whether any of this matters?
From the perspective of our reporting, we're perfectly happy to report it that way, although, okay, as I said, it'd be more of a burden. But we expected you to address the specific issue more in a rulemaking than you did here. We simply wanted to know, can we create this committee? And the reason we asked the third question was it actually does relate to this very issue of whether or not you're going to deem these to be establishment and administration expenses. We didn't really have an answer. That's why we had posed the question in the alternative.
And given that the answer to three is it doesn't matter either way, doesn't matter. For your purposes, you're happy.
Exactly.
Off you go. File some reports.
Right. And, if the commission wants to say in this opinion that the club does it this way, it's fine, and then we'll leave it for another day to decide whether that's the only way to do it, we don't have a problem with that either.
For example, if the club sets up another fund, right, that's not exclusively doing IEs, let's say you're doing state activity, redistricting, ballot initiatives, whatever, a grab bag.
Well, we wouldn't be disclosing that.
All that setup cost wouldn't necessarily be a contribution under federal.
That's correct.
Right.
Because
Emily's list would have something to say about that.
Right.
Not the group, the court case.
Right.
The group probably would, too.
Both. Right. I think both. Right. And I understood. I mean, the comments that came in yesterday made perfect sense to me from the perspective of, okay, well, if you have a federal and a non-federal committee, you're not disclosing the establishment and administration costs of the non-federal committee because of the Emily's List case. And I think there's a concern in the community that you not sort of prejudge this issue about whether or not these are establishment and administration costs. But from our perspective, if you tell us to report them, we'll report them.
Right. Because the question you're presenting is you're only doing federal IEs.
Correct.
So anything that's coming in is going to go out there's no question whether it's federal or non-federal or what.
Correct.
It is. Okay, great. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Further discussion. Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think, first of all, I want to thank you, Mr. Chairman. People out there have no idea how logistically difficult it was to assemble these six people at this table today. And I think that these are important opinions, and it's important that we do them in the open and that people have an opportunity to see us do them. So I really, really appreciate all the efforts that you went through, and congratulations on actually rounding up the troops. The opinions that are in front of us today raise some broad legal issues, and I think both of the requesters have tried to frame their questions in such a way as to pose just those broad legal questions. We haven't gotten detailed roadmaps from either of these requesters about, you know, and this is what we're going to do first, and this is what we're going to do second, and this is how we're going to do this, and this is how we're going to do that, that assume we're going to do our things correctly. Assume that we're not going to coordinate and we're only going to do independent expenditures. You know, that is a big assumption, and we're taking that, you know, we believe you. I particularly believe these two groups because I know they're very well advised by very able counsel who will do their best to keep them out of trouble and who know the laws. But, you know, it's an assumption. It's not a legal conclusion. We're obviously not passing judgment on your activities because we haven't seen them yet. And I think it's fine to come in. I understand why people have come in and asked us to establish these broad legal principles, which are a direct consequence of some of the court opinions that we've received recently, notably Citizens United and Speech Now. And basically what the requests both do in different ways is ask us to put two, add one plus one and get to two. We've got Citizens United that says corporations can spend whatever they want on independent expenditures. We've got Speech Now that says individuals can pool, who already could make unlimited independent expenditures, can pool those independent expenditures and make unlimited contribution to an independent expenditure-only group. And then we put the two of them together to get to the conclusions that we reach today. Oh, and by the way, I am supporting draft A. And I think that's the logic. That's the only logical conclusion from these court opinions. And you know, as one of the commenters noted, if we didn't give you answers like this, I have very little doubt that, you know, we'd end up in court and the courts would tell us that we should have given you these answers. I think I just don't anticipate any way that the courts wouldn't come to these same conclusions, and I think we can save everybody a whole lot of trouble and come to the conclusions on our own. We can indeed add one plus one and get to two, and I think we should. I think we do need to do a rulemaking, but we also have a statutory obligation to answer people's questions in the meantime. And I'm very pleased that we were able to, I believe, we will be able to come together to provide those answers. Now, the one thing that did give me pause about this request, which was a little bit harder for me than the later request, is the many contacts that we know that people within Club for Growth, almost certainly the president of the organization, have with candidates. And the president has said that he's going to be the treasurer of this new committee. And so I had to think about that. I had to think about whether that, as a matter of law, would violate the line between independent and coordinated expenditures, and I decided that it wouldn't, because the treasurer could just be a bookkeeping function. Maybe the president wants to be the treasurer because he wants to make sure that all the reports are filed properly, and he's going to take personal responsibility for that. Good for him. But if indeed he is a person that talks to candidates about their plans, their strategies, their needs, I think he then must segregate himself off from the decision-making about the placement of the independent ads, because then they wouldn't be independent under our coordination regulations. And that's why it was important to me, in part for your sake and in part for the sake of other, perhaps less well-advised groups out there who may form in the wake of these opinions, to be very specific about what it means to be coordinated and the kind of communications that will break that line, because I know that any group that's set up to do independent expenditures, the last thing they want to do is to find themselves on the wrong side of that line and find themselves in the middle of a coordination investigation. Even before this, that those kinds of complaints sometimes came in. came in Wanmer, and the respondent came in and said, aha, but we have this firewall, and we have established all these internal procedures to make sure that the people who are doing the independent expenditures are not having these conversations with candidates that would break down that barrier. And by unanimous vote of the commission, we found no reason to believe in that case. Oh, great, you got a firewall. And we subsequently thought it was such a good idea, we incorporated that concept as a safe harbor in our regulations. Is this organization setting up a firewall? Can I ask that question?
You can ask.
Can I get an answer?
What I can tell you is that this organization has no plans to coordinate its activity. So they won't be talking about any candidates' plans or activities or their needs, and the expenditures will be independent.
Okay, I think that answers my question. Let me just encourage you to set up a firewall.
Well, the opinion encourages a firewall.
Yes.
I actually appreciated the opinion. The opinion is reflective of what the law is.
I believe it is as well. And we don't want people to get into trouble. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that these, the distinction between independent and coordinated is huge in this context. And we want to make sure that everybody's on the right side of the line. And as I said, I think, you know, we learned in a case near and dear to your law firm's heart, Colorado Republican, that even organizations that have close ties to candidates, as close as party committees, can run independent expenditures if they set up, you know, an independent operation and it really is independent. So if party committees can do it, I don't see how we could tell you that Club for Growth can't do it. But I do think it's something that not only you but other groups that might be reading these opinions are going to have to be very careful about to make sure that they don't cross that line. And I appreciate the representations here at the table and in the opinion that you're going to take whatever steps you need to not coordinate. And I know you know how important that is. The only other thing that I wanted to say, and this is, you can relax because I'm not going to ask you about this, but it's kind of a response to some of the comments that we've received on this and that we've been reading about on websites and other places. There's been a lot of talk about the reporting obligations, and I appreciate that you came in and said you're going to register and report as a political committee, as did the next requester make the same commitment. And that makes it an easier question for us, obviously, because then we don't have to decide whether you are required to because you've already said you're going to. Bravo. However, I do think that, you know, we've seen a variety of comments on this, and it might be useful to say something about it. We've seen comments on one side saying, oh, my gosh, there isn't going to be enough disclosure. And then we've seen comments on the other side saying, well, really, this is it would be too burdensome to have committees be political. It's nice of these guys to want to be political committees, but it's really very burdensome, and they shouldn't have to. I think that the Speech Now unanimous panel of the D.C. Circuit has already addressed that issue of whether an independent expenditure committee should be filing reports. There's certainly no constitutional impediment. We know that from both the Supreme Court and from Speech Now. Citizens United established that disclosure and disclaimer requirements can be justified based on a governmental interest in providing the electorate with information about the sources of election-related spending. And the Speech Now court said, the public has an interest in knowing who is speaking about a candidate and who is funding that speech, no matter whether the contributions were made toward administrative expenses or independent expenditures. We know as far back as the MCFL decision in 1986 that the Supreme Court contemplated that independent expenditure committees could well be political committees. The court said in that decision, should MCFL's independent spending, become so extensive that the organization's major purpose may be regarded as campaign activity, the corporation would be classified as a political committee. If their independent spending is their major purpose, then they're going to be a political committee. And I think more fundamentally, if you look at the statute, you know, arguments over whether there should be more disclosure or should be less disclosure, whether this is burdensome, which Speech Now court said it wasn't, As the Speech Now court said, because Speech Now intends only to make independent expenditures, the additional reporting requirements that the FEC would impose on Speech Now for a political committee are minimal, nor do the organizational requirements that Speech Now protests, such as designating a treasurer and retaining records, impose much of an additional burden upon Speech Now. So speech, we got one comment saying they're very burdensome, but the Speech Now court apparently didn't think so. But if you go back to first principles, go back to the statute. The statute says a political committee that has to register and report means any committee, club, association, or other group of persons which receives contributions aggregating in excess of $1,000 during a calendar year or which makes expenditures aggregating in excess of $1,000 during a calendar year. We have organizations that say they are going to be doing exclusively independent expenditures, a defined term again in the Act, which means an expenditure by a person expressly advocating the election or defeat of a clearly identified candidate. So all, you know, the not only these committees, but other committees that are set up, other groups that are set up to do exclusively independent expenditures are, by definition, assuming they're going to raise or spend more than $1,000 for them, groups that are making receiving contributions aggregating in excess of $1,000 and making expenditures aggregating in excess of $1,000. And not only is their major purpose, but their exclusive purpose is campaign activity. You know, as the court said in Buckley v. Vallejo and MCFL, there's a restriction. It's not just that you raise or spend $1,000, that's your major purpose is campaign activity. Well, in this case, if your sole purpose in life is to make independent expenditures, express advocacy, communications, obviously your major purpose is campaign activity. So I've heard policy arguments, I've heard arguments about forms, I've heard all sorts of arguments. What I haven't heard from anybody out there, and this, you know, I beg your indulgence because you didn't raise this, what I haven't heard from anybody is a legal argument for why the statutory definition doesn't apply. I think that a group that is set up to do independent expenditures falls squarely within these definitions and has to register and report. I'd be interested if anybody's got a colorable argument for why these statutory terms don't apply, but it seems to me that they very, very plainly apply. And I say that because, you know, we've heard a lot of commenters, and if people think that there ought to be fewer disclosure requirements or more disclosure requirements, that is an argument for the people who work down the street, big white building with a dome. They can change those requirements if they want to, but, you know, we humble commissioners can only administer and interpret and enforce the laws that are written by Congress, as interpreted by the courts. So. Mandating more disclosure or less disclosure is above my pay grade. But I think it's a very, very clear question. And that certainly is my answer. But I appreciate the indulgence. I will be supporting the draft. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. I note that three of my colleagues have expressed their support for draft A, so I will break the suspense for requester and also indicate that I support it. So you do have a majority of the commission that supports draft A, and my thoughts are very similar to my other colleagues who are supporting the draft, that in the aftermath of the Citizens United decision and the D.C. Circuit opinions in Emily's List and Speech Now, that the legal landscape with respect to independent political spending has been dramatically altered, and that under the holdings and the logic of those decisions, I believe that we are compelled to answer the question that you may set up the proposed committee and accept and solicit and accept unlimited donations from individuals in order to further those that in that independent spending. I just would quickly note that the issue that Commissioner McGann brought up before about administrative and solicitation and establishment costs and deeming them a contribution, I think under the facts of this case, that's the appropriate conclusion, since as you represent, you've already stipulated that you are a federal political committee and that everything that you're doing are going to be federal IEs. But I would also echo that we're not prejudging that issue for the rulemaking, because there are going to be different factual scenarios which could hit us. And I think that when we get our NPRM out, that's going to be an issue that we're going to have to consider, is how do we treat these committees, which really aren't SSFs, because even though they're sort of, you know, there is a connection to an organization, but they're not going to be subject to restricted class solicitation limitations. unlimited transfer ability, or the and so that they really aren't SSFs, but because they sort of look like it, we're going to have to address that issue about how we're going to treat administrative and overhead expenses in all instances in different factual scenarios. And I think that that will be appropriate to handle that question in the rulemaking. So, but I, again, under the facts as they're being stipulated here, I can support this draft. Commissioner Walther.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to apologize and tell you that I have to leave in about 10 minutes at the most. So I just want to reiterate, these issues we bring up are really quite part of the meat of the whole thing, and that's why I feel like we're kind of jumping the gun a little bit on issues like reporting or whether or not the closeness of the relationship is going to make a difference to us in the rulemaking, or at least hear what people have to say. Let's hear what people have to say about this, because we're really on whole new ground, and I think these considerations, each of the ones, and there are others that are brought up here today, we don't want to try our case on any of these today. I think we just need to hear from more people on the impact of them. But maybe the thing to do is I would like to move B so that, for the record, that's outvoted.
Okay.
And then I can go, if that would be okay.
Okay.
So I just move adoption to draft B.
Any discussion on the motion? If none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no.
No.
The motion passes, fails by a vote of 1-5.
We weren't done.
I got ahead of myself a little bit there with Commissioner Walther voting aye and Commissioners McGann, Hunter, Weintraub, the Vice Chair, and myself voting no. Do we have a further motion? Commissioner McGann.
I'm going to move draft A, but I've won, I think, a friendly amendment, page 7, line 20, what I talked about earlier. If we could insert after the word committee, which exclusively makes independent expenditures, mm-hmm. before as contributions, so that it at least gives me some more comfort that we're only talking about the facts of this case and the situations raised by the commenters are then addressed, in that we're not addressing that today. So mm-hmm. it makes clear we're not making new law. Commissioner Walther does have a point. We can't get too far ahead of ourselves. The flip side, though, is an election's coming up, and people do have to, if they want some cover from an AO, I think they ought to be able to get it. So I would like to move draft A with that amendment. And if I could, it just without belaboring the point, if I could just take a minute to agree with Commissioner Weintraub's assessment of things that I don't think necessarily are comments in the AO sense of the word, but there are op-eds and chatter out there about you know, there's not going to be as much disclosure and that kind of thing. And she's right on the money, and we don't really have to look any further than comments filed by Bob Lenhard from Covington and Burling. Of course, he used to be the chairman of the agency. And in his comments, he notes that recent case law has, quote, significantly redefined the scope of permissible campaign finance regulation. He also says that the decisions, quote, make clear that the basis for many restrictions on corporate and union political spending are no longer valid. And then really critically to the point Commissioner Weintraub made much more eloquently than I could, he says, importantly, both Common Sense 10 and Club for Growth seek permission to use a disclosure regime for political committees that is more robust than what would be required of them if they avoided registration and complied instead with the disclosure requirements for non-political committees that undertake independent expenditures. Approving these requests will allow each organization to operate under the FEC's political committee regulations and thereby provide voters with more information as to the identity of donors to the groups as well as to their expenditures. That really addresses the chatter out there about there's not going to be disclosure. This is disclosure. We do have a regime that allows for disclosure of the money coming in the door and the money going out the door. The IE reports are really just the money going out the door, primarily, unless money's for those IEs. And we can talk about the nuances of that all day, but we don't need to do that today. But you're filing and taking that issue off the table. So I don't really follow people. And they really haven't commented in a formal sense, but people out there trying to create a buzz that, oh, well, this is really going to tip the dominoes and that kind of thing. It's not tipping any dominoes. Dominoes are already fallen. This is the logical result of that, and I'm not even sure we're adding one and one. It seems like they took the premise out from under the whole thing, so I'm not even sure how much addition we have to do. these AOs, not to get ahead of ourselves, but they're both, to me, very easy advisory opinions. I know Commissioner Walther needs to leave, and I hear him on need to do a rulemaking, but that's why I asked earlier. Folks can still speak before the election. I mean, the case law says what it says. You don't have to wait for an AO or a reg to exercise your rights. That was made abundantly clear by the Supreme Court time and time again, but most recently in Citizens United. So I just wanted to take a minute to echo what Commissioner Weintraub said about disclosure. Anybody comes away here saying this is undercutting disclosure or any of that kind of thing, they're just not reading what's going on. I mean, they just are not paying attention. And with that, Mr. Chair, would like to move draft A with the amendment that I suggested earlier, and I appreciate the indulgence of letting me read former Chairman Lenhart's comments into the record.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Remember fondly working with former Chairman Lenhart, and he is a wise man. We don't have to, speaking for myself, I don't have to love these opinions to be able to read them and apply them. And I just want to thank Commissioner McGann for last week. We were talking about transparency, and I actually slipped him a note at the meeting and said, what are you doing this afternoon? Let's get together with the Forums Committee. There was this issue about, how do we identify ourselves? And we came up with a fix, and it's suggested in these AOs as well, that you can send us a letter. If there isn't a box for you on the Statement of Organization, I mean, that's a paper form anyway. You can always write something in, I suppose. But you could also just send us a letter and say, this is what we're going to be doing. And we're going to be doing independent expenditures only, consistent with speech now. And that's why you're going to see all these big contributions on our forms. But you don't have to send us an RFAI about that because we're allowed to do it. And, I think it was a nice, easy fix. We were able to come together and make that decision fairly rapidly. And I hope that also I appreciate Commissioner McGann working with me on that. And I hope that provides one other answer for people who are wondering what they're supposed to do out there.
Any further discussion on Commissioner McGann's motion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed?
Nay.
The motion passes 5-1 with Commissioners McGann, Hunter, Weintraub, the Vice Chair, myself in favor, and Commissioner Walther in dissent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll quickly turn to the next item on the agenda, draft advisory opinion 2010-11, Common Sense 10. We have Mr. Elias from Common Sense 10 representing the committee, and take a seat. And Mr. Stepanovich, when you're ready, please proceed with your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, Commissioners. Agenda document 1042, response to a request for advisory opinion filed on behalf of Common Sense 10. Common Sense 10 is a non-connected committee that intends to make only independent expenditures and plans to solicit and accept unlimited contributions from individuals, political committees, corporations, and labor organizations to fund its independent expenditures. It has registered with the Commission as a political committee, and it will report the contributions it accepts and the independent expenditures it makes. The request asks whether this planned course of action complies with the Act, and the draft concludes that it does. The Commission received 4 comments on the request and 2 comments on this draft. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. Any discussion on the draft? And in light of the fact that we may be, I think most of our talking points that we probably drafted up for Club for Growth are equally applicable for Common Sense 10. And again, the logic and the holdings of the cases that we've been discussing apply equally. And the proposed committee, under those holdings, I think we're compelled to give a yes answer to the request that's being made in this instance. But I'd ask if there are questions that we'd have, if we might be willing to actually move to a vote first and have a discussion afterwards to accommodate our colleague. If we want to have a discussion, we could do it that way. But Commissioner McGann.
There's no draft B on this one.
No.
Right? There's only a draft B for club, but not for these guys.
Correct.
So do I take that as we're okay with this draft?
You can take that I oppose it for the same reasons.
Okay.
I have a statement in case I couldn't even stay till the end of this meeting. But,
check.
And I do have to go, but I wasn't going to support it. I support a portion of it, as I say in my statement, but not completely.
Okay. I only have one question, and that's all I have.
Okay. Commissioner McGann.
Mr. Elias. No tie, huh?
Yeah, I know. Meeting.
That's the question.
Without deferring blame anywhere else other than on myself, this meeting has been a bit of a moving target.
I understand. Yes.
In that process, the tie got lost.
Nothing further. Ask the witness.
All right. Do we have a motion? Vice Chair.
Mr.
Chair. I'm going to leave. Do you want to borrow mine?
I didn't even get your vote.
But you might get his tie. Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of agenda document number 10-42.
All right. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Nay.
The motion passes 5-1 with Commissioners McGann, Hunter, and Weintraub, and the Vice Chair and myself in favor, and Commissioner Walther in dissent. Thank you very much. Mr. Palmer, do we have anything relating to management and administrative matters that need to be discussed?
Mr. Chairman, there's no additional business.
All right. If they're hearing nothing else, meeting is adjourned.